ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 13th एंटाइटल्ड ब्रह्मा स्टीलिंग द बॉयज एंड काव्स। टेक्स्ट नंबर इज 16। ततो वत्सान दृष्ट्वैत्य पुलिनेऽपि च वत्सपान् उभावपि वने कृष्णो विचिकाय समन्ततः। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river. But there he was also unable to see the cowherd boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Purport. Krishna could immediately understand that Brahma had taken away both the calves and the boys. But as an innocent child, he searched here and there, so that Brahma could not understand Krishna's Maya. This was all a dramatic performance. A player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ट्रांसलेशन अगेन। देयर आफ्टर व्हेन कृष्णा वाज अनेबल टू फाइंड द काव्स ही रिटर्न टू द बैंक ऑफ द रिवर बट देयर ही वाज अनेबल टू सी द काउहर्ड बॉयज थस ही बिगैन टू सर्च फॉर बोथ द काव्स एंड द बॉयज एज इफ ही कुड नॉट अंडरस्टैंड what had happened. Hare Krishna. So we welcome everybody who have come for the Srimad Bhagavatam class today morning. I seek blessings and prayers of all the devotees assembled that we can speak something about this transcendental subject matter concerning Lord Sri Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan in the 10th canto. So, since last few days, we have seen, you know, different speakers have eloquently described about this pastime of killing of Aghasur. And thereafter, what is happening, you know, how people are able to understand or misunderstand what Krishna is doing. So, here we see, just to brief the pastime again so that you know we understand what is the context of today's verse, because in today's verse it seems that Krishna is confused. So just to give the background of what's going on, so we see in Anand Vrindavan Champu written by Srila Kavi Karnapur, he describes this pastime very nicely. He describes that one day Lord Krishna, he got up early in the morning and then he requested Mother Yashoda that today I want to have lunch in the forest. So please give me all the different, food preparations. So first she resists that no, you can't have it in the forest. You have to come back and take prasad here only, or have it and then go like that. So, but he persists, no, we want to have lunch in the forest with all my cowherd boys. So then she starts preparing different foodstuffs. A big list is given, you know, of all the milk preparations, papad, achar, and so many things. And everything is packed in, you know, different kinds of, utensils, tiffin box, as Prabhupada describes in one of the verses previously, that everybody opened their tiffin box. So everything is arranged and then all they are tied in clothes and Krishna, all his coward boys, they've already come, because as soon as Krishna and Balaram, they got up, so they blew their buffalo horn and all the coward boys have assembled. So then Krishna starts distributing all this food stuff. They have also carried something, and he also, because it is so much, he starts distributing, and they all carry on their poles, the stick, uspe bandh dete, like that. So seeing this, Mother Yashoda gives even more, that okay, you know, it is distributed, so I'll give some more. And then they go in the forest. And while leaving, Balaramji, Baldev, he does not come. Right. So, because there is some astrologer, he comes and he says that, you know, today a yagya has to be performed. So, Balaramji takes permission and he is at home. And then they go in the forest, and there is a beautiful description of how they are playing in different ways, imitating different birds and animals. And then they come up to this Aghasur. And it seems like a very wonderful site for playing, with a big mountain cave. He describes very nicely that, you know, the teeth, the eyes of Aghasur in Anandam Champu, and the veins of Aghasur which are appearing, like with his breath, they are, you know, moving. It seems that they are calling everybody inside, that come inside, you'll have a very nice time. So they see that, and let us explore. You know, they are all 5-year-old boys. So you see, 5-year-old boys, you know, they are always in the mood of exploring things. So they want to explore. But someone says, oh, this seems to be a snake. And they say, oh, snake, you know, what will he do? We'll get killed, you know, maybe some demon. So that Krishna will take care, come on. So then they go inside, and Krishna shouts from behind, stop, it is a demon. But by the time they are already inside. So then Krishna goes inside, and we have read that, you know, Krishna kills the demon. So when the demon is killed, and when Krishna comes out, and the spirit soul enters the body. So first, Aghasur allowed Krishna to enter in his belly. And after he was killed, Krishna allowed him to enter into his body. And gave him liberation. He allowed him to enter inside with the mood of killing. But Krishna, he allowed to enter the Aghasura's soul into his body to free him from death. Liberation. So this is how Krishna reciprocates. So this is all being seen by different demigods. They assembled, and there was a big uproar. Array, such a big demon killed, you know, just like yesterday there was some match. I was in hostel and I was speaking, and suddenly big uproar, some score, you know, some sixer or someone out. So here Aghasur is out, and everybody is, you know, rejoicing. Wow, how is this impossible, you know, such a big demon. And how could he be killed by just a 5-year-old boy? And they have all assembled. And then they see, yes, he's been killed, and Krishna gives him liberation. So they are all dancing. So Anandam Champu describes that even Brahmaji, Lord Shiva, Indra, and all the demigods, they were present. And they were glorifying the Lord. And Lord Shiva in his ecstasy, he was dancing so jubilantly that the crescent moon on his head, the moon, crescent means it is pointed on both the sides. So he starts jumping, and the crescent moon, it pierces the universal hole. And some nectar drops from there. Just like we have heard, you know, by Vamandev's piercing the universal cover, you know, the Ganga came. So all these drops of nectar, when they fall, few of the drops, they fall on the skulls garland on Lord Shiva's neck. And the skulls become persons. The dead bodies, the dead skulls of those persons, they come back to life, and they also start dancing with Lord Shiva. So everybody starts laughing. Array, you know, he lost a garland, but got so many associates. And they all start dancing and, you know, everybody is laughing. So all of these demigods, they have come in their different air carriers. Some on swans, some on bulls, and elephant, peacock, like that. So now, while they were glorifying, all these vehicles are parked. So then now they start moving. Okay, pastime is over. So they all go back. And all the apsaras and others, dancers, you know, the drum beaters, they all start winding up and they all start going. And Brahmaji is astonished. He sees that when the Akasura is killed and the cowherd boys and Krishna, you know, when the cowherd boys, they come out, they say, oh, we were killed. How did you revive us? By this poison, we were killed. So Krishna says that I have a special nectar. You know, not just the dead bodies can be, like, you know, those who are dead by poison, I can remove that effect, but I can even, you know, counteract the poison itself and the person who has the poison. And like that, they are joking, and then they move towards home. They start going towards home, and there Krishna sees a spot near the bank of river Yamuna. Very clean. It is described that the sand was as white as camphor powder and very soft. And Krishna says, just see, this is a very nice spot, so we can have lunch here. As previously described by Acharyas, that every day all these kind of demons would come to give an interval, so that, you know, they could start having their lunch or, you know, their food. Otherwise, they would keep playing. So then he says that, you know, this is a place, very nice spot. There are no birds flying over, so we can sit here and eat. And the sand, there are no footprints on the sand. So that means no one comes here. No animals or anything does not come here. So we can sit here. And they all say, yes, yes, we'll sit. So here today we are seeing, we'll reflect upon throughout whatever, another 15-20 minutes, 5 P's. So the 5 P's are the pastime, which we are describing now. What is the pastime going on? Who are the people or persons involved in the pastime? What are their characteristics? And the place. The place is the banks of river Yamuna in Vrindavan. And in every pastime in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is some philosophical point which keeps coming. So some philosophical points will also be discussed. And what are the precepts or the lessons that we learn? So in the previous purport, last line, actually Prabhupada speaks, everyone from Brahma down to the small insect must take lessons from Krishna. So in the previous verse, it was described that how Brahmaji stole away the cows. And Krishna, he wanted to teach a lesson to Brahmaji. So through Brahmaji, he is teaching everyone the lesson, all of us. So here Brahmaji, he is bewildered, seeing that, how could he have killed? He is just a 5-year-old boy. And he killed Akasura. We all saw, and the body merging, the soul merging in his body. And now they are playing, they are sitting on the banks and eating. And it was described by earlier speakers that how they were eating without any Vedic hymns chanted and without any bell ringing and without any procedure or mudras. But they were eating some, you know, half-bitten food, giving to Krishna. Krishna is also biting something and giving. And of course, Krishna was making some mudras. Very nice. This is very nice. Anandam Chappu describes that he was making some mudras, explaining, oh, this is a very nice prasad. So while they are having this food, so Brahmaji, he is thinking that, is he Krishna? Such a powerful person, but does not seem like that. 5-year-old boy, what can he do? So he was going through externals. And he thought, let me test him. So This is, you know, he admits that in the next chapter, Prayers of Lord Brahma, probably we may go through that chapter or we may not. So I just thought, you know, we'll speak. So in this 14th chapter, Prayers of Lord Brahma, in the 9th verse, Lord Brahma actually admits, he says, Pashyesha me anaryam anant adye paramatmani tvai api mai mai ni mayam vitat yekshitum atma vaibhavam yaham kiyan aichhata ivarhit ivhar chir agnau. He says, my lord, just see my uncivilized impudence. To test your power, I tried to extend my illusory potency to cover you, the unlimited and primeval super soul, who bewilder even the masters of illusion. What am I compared to you? I am just like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. So he admits that he wanted to test the Lord to see his power. And he wanted to show his power, that what power he has. You know? So just like we were hearing yesterday from Avatar Lila Prabhu, that there was this Japa retreat. And there was one game that they, you know, have this arm wrestling. You know, so few boys, they came and they were doing like this, and some won, some lost. And because there was a resistance from other side, so equally they are trying to show their power. So some wins, some loses. And then two brahmacharis, they came. And their hands just went like this and like this. So he was explaining, there was no resistance. So actually both of them win, turn by turn. So here, Lord Brahmaji is trying to win over the game by showing his power over Lord Krishna. So just see. So that is why that resistance is there, why that show of strength is there, to show that I am more powerful. That is born of false ego, which the root lies in envy. So originally envy, that develops into false ego, that I am something, and then we try to show our power. So here Brahmaji admits, he actually says that I was falsely thinking like this. In the next verse, verse number 10, he says, Atah shamasvachyut me rajo bhuvo yajanatas tvat prithak ishamanina ajavale pandh tamondh chakshushu eshonukampaya mai nathavaniti. He says, therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion, and I am therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your servant and therefore worthy of your compassion. She admits that, you know, I was affected by false ego, thinking prithaki ishamanina, thinking that I am a controller above you. You are in my jurisdiction, in my universe, you know, so I have power over you, like that. But he admits in the previous verse that you are ananta and adya. So you are the Lord of all, you know, right? You are the beginning, right? So everything is emanation of you. So when energy is coming from him, from the Lord, then how can the maya potency, energy, cover him, right? So he accepts that. He knew, but for the time being, he was forgetful. So we see how here, this, he is affected by envy, and that is so in the place of Vrindavan. In this chapter only, in the 60th verse, it is described what is Vrindavan. He says, Yatra naisarga durvaira sahasan rigmadaya नृमृगादयः मित्राणि वाजितावास द्रुतरुट तरशकादिकम्. वृंदावन इज द ट्रांसेंडेंटल अबोर्ड ऑफ द लॉर्ड वेर देर इज नो हंगर एंगर और थर्स्ट. दो नेचुरली इनिमिकल बोथ ह्यूमन बीइंग्स एंड फियर्स एनिमल्स लिव देयर टुगेदर इन ट्रांसेंडेंटल फ्रेंडशिप. सो दिस इज वृंदावन. वी हैव सीन इवन इन सम बीबीटी पिक्चर्स इट शोज दैट टाइगर एंड डियर दे आर सिटिंग साइड बाय साइड. दे आर नॉट हैविंग एनी एनवी seeing another one as my food, so I have right to kill. But Krishna is seeing here that Lord Brahmaji, his own son born from his own navel on the lotus flower, given the responsibility to facilitate the conditioned souls coming back to him, going through the process of purification in the material world. And here is he getting affected by this same envy. So how can he tolerate? So if there is any problem, it is said that there are different ways of dealing with problem. So it is said that one should use yukti, or you know, one should think before solving the problem, find different ways. So it is said that there are these four ways of dealing with any problem. The first is sam, that is by trying to explain the situation by discussion. Then there is dan, or by giving some incentive. Okay, you know, you take this incentive so you can, you know, work better, like that. And then there is bhed, or making disparities or comparison. And then if nothing works, then last is danda or punishment. So this has to be applied based on time, place and circumstance. And it says, the Niti Shastra says, that danda, which is the most abominable form of solving the problem, should be used the last, when all the others three are exhausted, that nothing works. So here we see that the persons involved in this pastime are Brahmaji, who is Lord's such a responsible representative, the secondary creator. And he is getting affected by this envy. And in that envy, what has he done? Okay, he has a doubt that whether this person, Krishna, 5-year-old boy, is he the same Lord of my life, you know, of my creator. So if he wanted to solve the problem, solve the doubt, he could have come and asked, I have some doubt. So as we have heard, when in doubt, ask. But he did not follow that. He thought, let me test. So if he would have come, let's say, to Krishna, so Krishna is busy with his coward boyfriends, he would have just yawned, "Arey, so many people are asking all these questions, who am I?" So, and in that yawning, he would have shown all the universes in his mouth, just as he has shown to Mother Yashoda. He admits that, that he also knew that pastime. In the 17th verse of 14th chapter, he says that you have shown on this universal form to Mother Yashoda, and in that mouth showing the universal creation, you have also entered inside. Similarly, this creation is also your product, and you have still entered here also. So is it not wonderful? So he asked forgiveness in that way, that I am mistake. So if he would have asked, then Krishna would have easily solved the problem, his doubt. But Brahmaji wanted to test, show his power. So here, Krishna, he decides, okay, we have to teach lesson to Lord Brahma. So, he stole all the calves and cowherd boys to test. So when he was seeing from his vantage point, as in the previous verse it says that, you know, he was khe sthita, huh? So he was in the sky and he was seeing all this pastime, and he thought, okay, let me test what is the power of Krishna by showing my power of illusion. So he decided, okay, I will steal all these calves and cowherd boys and let's see how Krishna responds. So does Krishna actually understand, or does he frantically search here and there and start crying, or he comes to me and begs, please return, let's see, you know, how he responds. So while he is thinking all this thing that I will steal away the cows, Lord Krishna understands that, you know, this is the planning going on with Lord Brahma. So when the calves had gone away and Krishna said, you don't worry, you keep sitting here, I'll go and take all the calves. He spoke to the cowherd boys. So that time, by his yogmaya potency, he covered all the calves and cowherd boys also, and hid them through his yogmaya potency, and created, you know, duplicate or artificial illusory cowherd boys and calves, which Lord Brahma saw. So as in the previous verse, you know, translation, purport, Prabhupada says that the boys whom we took away, they were illusory. He says, Brahma wanted to take away Krishna's associates, but instead he took away some other boys and calves. And the word, similarly, the word used is Maya Arbhaka, boys manifested by Krishna's Maya. So yesterday after the class, you know, there was this question, some devotees were asking, so where the original cowherd boys went? So this is clarified by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Sararta Darshini, that, in Krishna's presence, who could actually steal all these calves and cowherd boys without Krishna knowing? So he already came to know, so he covered all those boys, put them to sleep, and illusory were created, which Brahma took them away. So later also, he says, "Arey, which are illusory? The one who are sitting here when he sees Krishna expanded, or the one which he took back?" So, you know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that Sukhdeva Goswami would not say original cowherd boys to be illusory, to ask this question through that Brahmaji is asking, which are illusory? These one or that one? So that means the original were somewhere else. So they were enveloped by yogmaya potency. So that answers the question of, you know, where the cowherd boys went. And you see, these are the devotees, cowherd boys, which is described in the beginning of this chapter, that they are, so, you know, krita punya punja, that so many, you know, pious activities they must have done that they are actually playing with Krishna, and they are very special. So we see that, you know, even in Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, in the pastime of Amrish Maharaj, so Durvasa Muni, he, you know, tries to harm Amrish Maharaj, and then Sudarshan Chakra is behind him. He goes to all the different personalities, powerful. Finally, he goes to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu says that how he also cannot protect, because he says that my devotees are so dear to me. And there are some 4 or 5 verses in the 4th chapter, starting from verse number 63 to 68. He says, Aham Bhakta Paradhina, that I am actually subservient to my devotees, because they are with so much dedication offering their lives, their home, everything. And he ends with the verse, you know, Sadhava Hridayam Mahiyam, that actually all these devotees are within my heart always, and I am in their heart. We are never separated. So these are the kinds of devotees that Brahmaji is trying to steal, to show his power, to test Krishna's power. So how can that be tolerated? So Lord Krishna, you know, this kidnapping, huh? So this is kidnapping. Huh? He is trying to kidnap not just the cowherd boys, one or two, but all of them. Previously, some asuras were there, like Vyomasur. He was stealing one by one. Huh? And just the cowherd boys acting like cows. But here, he is stealing everybody at the same time, leaving Krishna alone. So we hear that Krishna is never alone. So he is trying to take away opulences of Lord Krishna in that way, to show his opulence. So that is the power of envy. So Lord Krishna, you know, in later past times also we see that similar kind of kidnapping instances, they happen. You know, Lord Krishna is enjoying in the forest and the gopis are there, and this demon Shankhachuda, he comes and he starts kidnapping, you know, one by one, taking all the gopis with the stick. And then Krishna Balaram, Krishna, he chases the demon and he kills him. So he used the fourth process, danda, punishment. But here, that was demon, you know, nothing would work. You know, there was no question of explaining him or giving something in exchange, right? Or comparing. But here, he is a responsible person, universal manager, supposed to understand things, be intelligent, and given some powers, not to misuse, but to use. So he says, okay, you know, how to, and he is the head of all the demigods, right? He is like the spiritual master of all the demigods in that way, that any problem comes, everybody comes to Lord Brahma. What is the solution? So he says, you know, how to explain to him, you know. So then he expands like this. So he uses this, that okay, I'll teach him without anyone coming to know that he has done this. So if he would have not expanded, so it would have created so much of lamentation and confusion amongst all the cowherd community. So he expanded himself in all the cowherd boys and calves. And, you know, Anandan Champu, it describes that he even expanded himself into exactly the same type of clothes they were wearing, the same ornaments, and their behavioral characteristics. And they all started playing and again they went back. So, here we see that, you know, Lord Brahmaji, you know, he mistook Krishna, seeing him as a 5-year-old boy. So, supposed to be intelligent, but his intelligence was covered. So, there is one very nice shloka which says that, you know, it is a good, you know, lesson that we can learn, that how any power or, you know, influence, we should not judge through externals. So it says, hasti sthula taras sa chankushavasho kim hasti matrankusho dipe prajvalite pranashyati tamah kim deepa matram tamah vajrenapi hata patanti giraya kim vajra matra giris tejo yasya virajate sabalavan sthuleshu kah pratyaya. It says that elephant, which is such gigantic in size, but it is controlled by a small stick, you know, which has a point. It is called ankush or goad. And such a big elephant is under control. What is the comparison of the small stick and such a big elephant? It says that darkness, which is so all-encompassing, you know, complete darkness, it is like unlimited. But a small lamp, it destroys. Pranashyati tama, the darkness. And vajra, or the thunderbolt, we just heard 2 days back, you know, in the evening, so much thunderbolt, right? So the thunderbolt, it is so powerful, it is very subtle, subtler than the gourd, subtler than the lamp also. We can handle lamp, but we can't figure out what is the thunderbolt, where does it come from. But it can break the peaks of mountains, which is even such big use in size. So there is no comparison of gross or subtle. There is no comparison that what is the size or what is the quality of this thunderbolt and what is this mountain or, you know, all these three examples. So it says, Tejo yasya virajate sabalvan. So the power does not lie in the size. That you see someone very huge in size, so he must have some power. That is, you know, it can be illusory or it can be, you know, deceptive. So here it says, so Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita, Tejo, Tejasvinamaham. He is the source of everything. He is the real Tej. So even though he appears like a small 5-year-old boy, and seems to be confused, as this verse says, that, you know, he is thinking, you know, what happened. But he is still the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that Lord Krishna, he acted like that and he covered Brahma's understanding by his Maya. And he says, this was all a dramatic performance. So some drama is going on. You know, it's like that. And he says, a player knows everything, but still he plays on the stage in such a way that others do not understand him. So here, you know, in so many verses throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that how Krishna appears in this world, taking the human form, appearing like an ordinary person, but he is not ordinary, he is extraordinary. In first canto, first chapter, you know, the sages, they are making so many inquiries. So in the 20th verse, it says, you know, Kritvan kilakarmani sahrameena keshava Atimartyam Bhagavan, Atimartyani Bhagavan, Gudha Kapata Manusha. So, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, along with Balramji, played like a human being. And so masked, like an actor putting some mask. He performed superhuman activities. Amartyani. So here it says that, you know, how Krishna, he acts as if he is a human being. What is the purpose? You know, he says in Bhagavad Gita why he actually comes here. That to, you know, subdue the irreligion and to protect the devotees. But we hear from the acharyas, actually that is not a real reason. Because that can be done by his energy itself. Demons killing, it is very simple, you know. The nature is very powerful. It can immediately vanquish a whole city in the form of tsunami or earthquake. But, you know, Krishna does not come for that reason. He comes to just attract the hearts. So, we see that when we want entertainment, we want our, you know, satisfaction of heart. So, many people, they go watch some drama that was some years back, now movies. So that is all drama, but it enchants our heart so much that there are people who start crying seeing, you know, the actors acting. So they actually participate in the drama. So similarly, Krishna comes in this material world displaying all his, this is not mundane drama. This is the drama which he is doing, which is transcendental. They are actually his own pastimes in the spiritual world. And attracts our heart and makes us part of that leela if we are absorbed. And in that way, we become purified. So, Krishna is acting like an actor. Even Kunti Maharani, she says, Nato natya dharo yatha. You are acting as if some actor on the stage, right? But who can actually understand what is the position of Krishna? So, in the second chapter of the first canto, and the sages, when they are, you know, inquiring the, in the answers, it is described that, you know, from the verse number 17 till verse number 20, and it says, Shrinvatam swakatha Krishna punya shravana kirtana ridyanta sthoya bhadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. So when we regularly, when we actually hear Shrinvatam swakatha Krishna, hear the Krishna's Lord Krishna's pastimes and activities. It removes all the unwanted things, abhadrani, inauspicious things which are in our heart. What are those? Envy, anger, lust, pride, because of which we actually, Krishna is right in front, but still Lord Brahmaji, who just few moments back was praising Lord Krishna, is confused because of that envy. So all those kinds of abhadrani can be removed by Srinvatam Swakatha Krishna. But just one time hearing is enough. The next verse immediately says, no. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That we hear it regularly, on a regular basis. Prabhupada translates, attending Srimad Bhagavatam class regularly. So that is removed. And Surit Satam. And then the, you know, goodness, it comes. And then the next verse says that Tadarajas tamo bhavat kama lobhadayasche. That the effects of passion and ignorance manifest in the form of envy, anger, lust, they subside. And pure goodness starts coming. So Brahmaji, he admits that I am born out of Rajo. Achyuta me Rajo bhuva. That I am born out of passion. That's why I was affected by this desire to test you. So the Bhagavatam also says, what is the cure? If you rehear regularly, the effects of passion and ignorance subside slowly. And then in the 20th verse it says, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavad tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Yeah. So, you know, one may say, "Arey, all these things are already there in Bhagavatam." So Krishna, by his potency, he could have, you know, checked, you know, Lord Brahma also doing all these things. When he thought immediately as Paramatma within his heart, he must have given the spurti. Arey, remember all these verses, you know, we have heard right directly from Krishna. But, you know, Krishna, through one pastime, you know, he is known to, you know, do many things by just one act. So, just like we say, you know, ek teer mein do nishane, like that. So, here he wanted to show, used Brahma to show us, to give us this lesson, that don't judge through externals. Don't judge Krishna's pastimes or his devotees by externals. But do it. If you have any doubt, come submissively and ask. As the process he has given in Bhagavad Gita. That pariprashnena sevaya, like that. But here he saw that Brahmaji did not have that mood. So one of the Niti Shastras actually says that when should a person actually give someone some lesson or some advice? It says, Vachram Vachyam Shraddha Sametasya Pruchatescha Visheshataha Proktam Shraddha Vihinasya Aranya Ruditopamam. So if a person asks with faith something to you and you speak, so that is good. You know, that may work if he takes properly. But if someone does not have faith, so your advice is like crying in forest. It is of no use. So one should avoid speaking to people who are faithless. That's what Bhagavad Gita Krishna says in the end, that those who are without any faith, don't speak this. So Krishna saw that Brahmaji has not come with that consciousness to understand. He has come, you know, affected or being, you know, he is so much, overcome with the desire to show his power. Let's see, you know, he is showing so much power at the age of 5. Let me show something. So he did not have that mood of understanding actually, factually, you know, what Krishna is, or is Krishna really the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So here we see, okay, so with this, he cleared his doubt by displaying such opulence that when Krishna, when Lord Brahma actually came after earthly calculation of 1 year, for him just a moment, and he was seeing and Krishna expanded, you know, all the Vishnu forms. And Bhagavatam explains not just the Vishnu forms were there, but so many Lord Shivas and Brahma and different demigods were there praising all those Vishnu forms with the universal creation surrounded. And then suddenly they disappeared. So then Krishna, Lord Brahma came to his senses. But with this, Krishna also wanted to reciprocate with all the cowherd boys, all the, you know, cowherd community, right? Sometimes, you know, when we hear that, you know, it is described that when Krishna was at home, all the cowherd boys were in separation, that when the day will rise and, you know, they will go to forest. And when they would go to forest, all the mothers and the cowherd girls, you know, the young girls, they would be thinking, "Arey, when will Krishna return?" So they were always having some kind of separation like that. But here, Krishna used this pastime to expand himself into all those, each and every thousands of cowherd boys and calves, to reciprocate the love with all the cowherd men in the community. All the cowherd men, all the cowherd, you know, mothers. And we hear during that time, even Krishna got married to all the cowherd girls. Right? So in this one pastime, he actually accomplished so much. And for one full year, he kept reciprocating such intense love with all the, you know, Brajavasis. So he used this as pastime. He used this as an opportunity. And later we see that when Indra came, so he used that also to simultaneously reciprocate with everyone. There, everyone was assembled. Here he was individually, you know, having pastimes with them. But here, and it was covered. They did not know that he is Krishna. But they were reciprocating love like they would do to Krishna. And that was bewildering to Balramji. After a year, when he saw, what is this happening, you know? They are loving all these cowherd boys and cows are loving their calves as if they are, you know, loving Krishna that way. So how is this? So then this pastime is revealed that, you know, this is what, you know, happened. So using this pastime, so that shows, you know, the brilliance of Lord Krishna, that any situation he uses for his own enjoyment. He reciprocates fully with everybody. He reciprocated with Lord Brahma. He wanted to learn a lesson the hard way. He learned. All the cowherd boys, you know, all the cowherd community, they wanted to exchange affection, so they had that. So here we see, so, you know, I did not segregate, you know, the different P's, but, you know, we can analyze what all those philosophical points and, you know, other things are there. So I am 4 minutes over time, so thank you very much for allowing the opportunity to speak about Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gurudev ki jai.